What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Happy Wednesday, everybody. On Wednesdays, we do something called Practical Solutions. You show up every Wednesday, we're going to give you something to do. And today is a big one. When you do your hiring, which is harder than ever, dentists make three big mistakes. And every time you make these mistakes, you say, what happened? Our goal in these podcasts is to give you a framework so you don't make these mistakes. I have a great coach on. Her name is Michelle Wakeman, and she walks us through the three biggest mistakes that dentists make when it comes to hiring. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Have you ever hired anybody and thought to yourself, oh man, I messed that up? And then you make the mistakes again and again and again. Well, maybe you haven't, but I have for sure. And so today we're going to be talking about one of the biggest, actually three of the biggest mistakes that you make in hiring, and we don't want you to make them. And I have an amazing coach on, Michelle Wakeman. Thank you so much for being on, Michelle. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on to chat with you about hiring for 30 minutes. It's super fun.
Yeah. And like, Let's go here first. Is this a small topic or a big topic in dentistry? I know that's a little...
No, this is a huge topic. And I think it goes hand in hand with where dentistry has been in the last 5 years or so since COVID. There's been a lot of turnover. You know, people have left the industry, new people have come into the industry. And so what we notice with a lot of our clients is that they are doing quite a bit of interviewing and quite a bit of hiring. And there are some pretty significant pitfalls that you can find yourself in if you don't have a really good system. We love that word at ACT, systems. For how you're going to work through your hiring process.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if you're, and I resist the urge to call myself an old timer, but it's been 31 years I've been doing this. And if you've been hiring or if you've been an entrepreneur for more than three decades or close to three decades, you kind of revel in how it used to be. You know, it wasn't this hard. And then like two decades ago, it got harder. And then in the last 5 years, I think it's been harder than ever. And I think we've all just come to the conclusion that that's true. And what that means for us is that we have to up our game and we have to think better about this. And I love how you said system. Take us through this. Where do we start? Like, just let's start high level and break this down.
Yeah, absolutely. So what it starts with is needing to hire someone. So before you even get to that point, I encourage you, make sure that you have a position that needs to be filled. One of my favorite Kirkisms is don't throw bodies at inefficiencies. And it's so true. You may not necessarily need to fill a position. So before you do that, talk to your team, make sure that you have all of your ducks in a row and that you do actually have the need for another position to fill. Now, once you've accomplished that, make sure that you have a job description. The amount of times that I see somebody hiring and I'm like, okay, what are you hiring them for? Well, to work up front. Okay, awesome. We need somebody to work up front. What are they going to do up front? Well, you know, they're going to do the upfront things.
Right.
So that can mean a thousand different things. So it's so important to have it nailed down so that you can then narrow it down to the right candidates.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so being that it's so hard now compared to the way it used to be, I'm a big fan of having the system and then also building a bench, you know, starting it. And don't fall into the traps of like, oh, we got to find somebody. So let's start the process. And now you get into this whole thing. And let's talk about this. Decision fatigue is real. You know, it's very real. You have all these candidates come in. And if you don't do this right, what you end up doing, which is what I did, is you choose the least worst option. You're not really choosing the best candidate. You're choosing least worst. So can you speak to that a little bit, Michelle?
Yes, see it happen all the time. It's like, oh, somebody applied. They must be perfect. I'm just going to bring them in. It's no problem. Just like get them in the door, put them in the front. They'll be fine. And you're right. When you're doing that, you're actually just going to magnify your stress level rather than reducing it. So decision fatigue is one of my favorite phrases because having worked in clinical dentistry, you don't realize the amount of decisions that you make on a daily basis just for direct patient care. And then on top of that, you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur. If you are trying to constantly fill a seat because you've got the wrong person in the seat, you're just compounding that stress, that decision fatigue. It's taking you away from your time actually being productive and doing dentistry. So yeah, getting this process right and really nailing it every single time, or most times. I mean, sometimes they get through the cracks. You know, sometimes you just can't hide the crazy. But if we can get the right people in, it's going to take away so much stress.
Yeah,
in the long run.
Absolutely. And we're going to share with you the three mistakes, but pounding in the why before we get to the actual treatment plan is probably most important so that you don't make these mistakes. Now, the true thing about being a dentist, and I always say this, is one of the downsides of being a dentist is that you don't really have a ton of entrepreneurial time. I mean, a lot of you're spending your time working on patients, with patients, treatment planning, all that kind of stuff. And hiring takes you away from the dentistry, which is driving the practice. Correct, Michelle?
Yeah, totally. And I hate it when I hear my clients say that they're staying late, you know, after work, they work a full day till 5. And then they're doing interviews until 8 that night. I want you home with your family. I mean, that's what it's all about. You should be able to go to work, do a really excellent job taking care of your dentistry, and then be able to have that balance, that work-life balance. And again, if you're constantly going through the cycle of hiring and firing, you're spending all of your extra time, not with your family, but working on your business.
Yeah.
So yeah, having a more efficient system helps tremendously.
Yeah. And if you're like me, you're doing it after the productive time, which means you're fatigued, which means you're making bad decisions. And that is not helpful either. And lastly, on the why is you do this the wrong way, it costs you more than money. We talk about this all the time. Give us some perspective on that. It's more than the dollar amount. How big is this?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, do you have a team that you enjoy being with? We want to keep them around. Right. And in order to do that, you've got to make sure that you have the right fit with that team. There's that saying, it's trite, but it's true. One bad apple spoils the bunch. And it's 100% accurate. If you have one team member that comes in that for whatever reason is toxic or not a good core values fit, it might end up costing you some of your great team members that you didn't want to lose or didn't need to lose. So don't rush. Make sure that you're not just churning and burning through team members. Take your time, have a system in place, and hire the right person.
Yeah. And so Miranda Beeson, who puts all of our content together, you're going to see all of this has a theme. In the last podcast, I shared the thought that we talk about all the time is like nothing frustrates a great team member than when you consistently tolerate a bad one. So on the hiring side, dentists, I want you to think about this. If you have an amazing team member, they're waiting anxiously to see who's the chosen one to support this process. And sometimes they look at you and go, are you serious? Like, this is my life. And I'll go back to one other thing you said that it's so important. We spend 30% of our lives at work. And you want to come to a place where you're like, these are my people. This isn't easy. I'm not here to tell you it's easy. It's the hard work that you do on the front end that makes this easier and more fun. So Michelle, help us out of this dilemma. What are the three big mistakes most people make when it comes to hiring?
So I'll list them out and then we'll kind of dive in to the first one. So first mistake is skipping that pre-interview screening. And yes, I said pre-interview, not having a system, not having a documented interview system, and then selling yourself instead of learning about the applicant.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I've done all of those too much. So check. All right. So true. All right. You're going to have to go back and explain skipping the pre-interview screening. What is that? Like, explain.
So this is the number one thing that I see managers, I see dentists do wrong. So we post our job ad wherever we post our job ad. You know, everybody's on Indeed or DentalPost.com or Craigslist, wherever you find your people. And you get some candidates and they come through and you print them off and you're like, oh, a couple of these look promising. And so you call them and you schedule them to come in for an interview. And either they don't show up, they schedule it and they completely ghost you, or they show up and they're not a good fit to work anywhere, much less your office, or they're not who they said they were. So instead of giving your valuable time to people that might not be worth spending extra time on, let's put some systems in place to kind of pre-screen those individuals. And there's a couple of different ways that you can do it. Depending on where you're posting, you can actually attach a questionnaire to your ad and put some very specific instructions in your ad. I love to do this for a couple of different reasons. One, it lets me know if you pay attention to detail. Did you actually read the ad and did you follow the directions? Because if you didn't, I might already have concerns. Maybe you're not the right person for this position that requires a lot of attention to detail. You're going to make some really specific questions that are core to who you are. I encourage you to wrap your core values into some of those questions. You know, if you have a core value of always be growing like we do at ACT, you might want to ask something about, hey, when was the last continuing education course you took, or what was your favorite one? Let's find out if that person actually seeks out opportunities to learn. So now, before we even pick up the phone, before we even take the time to do that, we've already weeded through a good amount of applicants, and we can now hone in on a better pool to focus our time on.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And you said be specific, see people follow directions. And Andy just shared with me, we have a member of the BPA community who asked, did you hear about this? The respondents in the subject line of the email to type their favorite ice cream flavor. So when they were responding to it, he could see who was really following directions. I thought that's pretty clever, because you do want people to follow directions. And so that's one system. And what's really cool about the BPA is you can go back there, and that's one of the common themes back there, the Best Practices Association. This week alone, people were like, okay, does anyone have an admin, you know, job description, ad? And you'll see they're sharing some great ones, and they're really, really good. So don't try to do this stuff on your own. And what Michelle's talking about is so critical. Just on the front end, have some type of a filter so you're not wasting time to do that. What else can we do that keeps us from skipping the pre-interview screening?
So I know this is one of your favorites, and it's actually something that I had to do when I wanted to come hang out and act with all the fabulous people here. Send in a video, have a video submission, see how that person shows up, see how they carry themselves, see how they speak. And it also lets you know that they're serious, because if somebody's going to take the time to actually film a short video of themselves for you, it means that they really want to work for you. They're not just kind of going through the motions and filling out random applications online.
Yeah, totally. It's one of my favorite things we've ever done. And I don't do the hiring anymore. Chris and Jenny pretty much do that process because they're way more effective than we are. And I mean, we mean Barrett, in this whole thing, but, the video submission was a huge one. And I can't remember who gave us that, but think about this in your practice, when you're looking for a position, ask people to hold up their phone and just answer a question, create a video submission. If you can't hold your phone up for 60 seconds and speak into your phone, why you'd be a good candidate for this role, we're not going to interview you. And on that side of things, Michelle, you're exactly right. People show up and there are some video submissions we get. I don't see them too often. And you're like, oh my gosh, no way, not a chance. And then there are other ones you're like, wow, that is really good. And I hate to say this, but Chris could say, she's like, the video submission pretty much is pretty accurate from that perspective on whether or not we're going to hire them. Here's why. If you don't do this, you're going to schedule an hour with these people, a half hour, and you're going to go, oh my gosh, there are going to be some interviews that you're going to see a lot of people ghost you. You're like, I set up an hour and they didn't even show. So you're going to eliminate that and save a ton of time with the video submission. And the really good ones can rise to the top. You already know what you're dealing with. And the really good ones like yours, you'll be like, wow, they put some care into this. They really did. And so it presents itself well. So that's one idea. Another one that several of our practices use is the Google phone number. So if you have somebody from an admin perspective who's going to be answering the phone, you want to know how good their phone skills are. And so you can go to Google right now, get a free phone number, and you can leave a message on it. And it can be an autonomous phone number, and you can put your own message on and say, hey, thanks for calling this phone number. I know that you're inquiring about the role in our practice to be an admin team member. And one of your responsibilities is to handle phone skills. We'd like to know why you'd be good. Please leave a message after the beep, why you'd be good for this role. I think if you're not even looking for somebody, you should do this anyway, just because it's so much fun. This is what you're going to hear.
Hello. Hi. I saw your ad. I'm really good at answering the phone, and I like people. And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, if they can't leave a great message on that machine you've created, can you imagine what they're going to do with your phone system calling patients? So it becomes a great, easy filter to, to start. So I love this, front loading all of this. And please do not skip the pre-interview screening. Great one. Awesome. What else should we avoid skipping in this process?
Yeah. So now you've really whittled it down to candidates that have a decent chance of being a good fit for your practice. So the next step is, and again, this kind of speaks to the decision fatigue piece, have a system that's written out that your entire team is aware of. Like, hey guys, when we bring somebody new into the office to potentially bring them into our work family, that this is how we do it. So make sure that you have preset questions that are aligned to the role that you're looking to fill. I talked a little bit about having defined roles. Let's make sure we tell the person what the job is that they're applying for. When we're interviewing them, here are the items that you'll be responsible for on a daily basis. And now that person knows exactly what to expect and they know what they're going to be responsible for on a daily basis. And you're going to get a better answer as to where their responsibilities may lie. I was talking to a client of mine, and she's looking for a team member, and had somebody come in and she said, I was an office manager. Well, what do we know about the title office manager? Well, it can mean a thousand different things depending on where you work. So to have her say, yes, I want you to be an office manager. Well, what does that mean in your practice? What duties does that person take care of? It's also really important to have a structured timeline. You know, when are you taking care of your interviews? Are you doing them on, you know, your Fridays because you are only in the office Monday through Thursday? Or are you doing them after work? Are you doing them during lunch? do we have a scorecard to kind of keep track? It gets confusing when you are interviewing multiple candidates, and you'll find that they have similar backgrounds or similar qualities, especially in dentistry. So you want to ensure that you have a way to keep track of kind of where they fall on your list of the things that you're looking for out of them.
Yeah, I love all of this. A couple of things I'll piggyback on is defining who does the interviewing. If you're a dentist mm-hmm. and you're just looking to fill some and you haven't really had a good track record, it is time to give that responsibility to someone else or a group of somebody else. We've had many practices in the BPA have team members, dentists will assign team members or a group of team members to identify two candidates, and then they go to lunch with them, and then they offer the suggestion on who might be the best fit. Now, the psychology behind that is powerful, because if I'm a team member that works for you and I've taken these two candidates out to dinner or out to lunch and I've picked Michelle, I'm going to be more invested in making sure Michelle is successful because I was behind that decision. And that's exactly what we do. Jenny and Chris, they bring us, and I'm like, okay, what do you think? And they're like, I don't know. I'm going to bet on this one. And usually they are right. The other thing you mentioned is a scorecard rating system, because, and we use that for everything in the Barrett family. I need a number for the restaurant. I need a number for, because mm-hmm. people will say great or good, or that means different things. So internally, what we do here at ACT is like, I want a number. Jenny, give me a number. 9.2. And I'm like, ooh, 9.2. And then Chris might say 8.6. And I'm like, why? Now we can go a little bit more into the details of why there's a larger gap with one than the other. And they'll do the same with us too. So I think you're not going to get a 10. You're not looking for that. But you can all come together on what the biggest, you know, you can get a clear idea of how this all works. And preset questions where you're not making them up. Gosh, all of this is so powerful. I love it. Anything else you would add before we give them number three?
Yeah. So I would say along the lines of your questions, be very intentional. Make sure they're open-ended. You know, don't ask yes, no questions. I like very global questions. Like, tell me about yourself. You know, let the candidate take it where it should go. And then you can ask them follow-up questions.
Yeah. Can I throw one in there too?
Yeah.
I love that, because you just prompted that. Now, again, I don't do the hiring here, but tell me your story is one of my favorite, because people go, well, how much of my story? I'm like, as far back as you want to go. They will tell you sometimes things you're like, wow, I didn't need to know that. And it's like they forget that they're in a job interview. Now, some of their stories are amazing, like amazing. And some of them give you great context to who they will be after you hire. You know, if they have a story that's filled with angst on previous bosses and previous practices and previous team members, you're going to see that if you hire people. But if people are like, hey, listen, greatest. And so that's a great one. And I love that. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there, but you're prompting some good stuff. So
yeah, no, it's a great question. And point being, like, just put the ball in their court.
Right.
And that really brings me to my next point, you know, that third kind of pitfall of hiring is trying to sell yourself to the applicant.
What? Who does that?
It's crazy, right? Like, why am I trying to sell myself to you? You want to come work for me, right? And you want to hire someone that really does have a desire to be where you are. I tell my teams a lot, I want you to become a destination workplace. I want you to be the practice that you hear about out in town where it's like, oh, nobody ever leaves there because it's the best. And why is it the best? Well, it's the best because you've intentionally created a culture that supports your team and takes really great care of the people that you see. So in order to do that, you got to talk about yourself a little bit less. Let that candidate talk a little bit more. We talk about the 80-20 rule. So you really want that candidate to be doing about 80% of the talking. Oh, again, open-ended questions, power in the pause, just kind of sit back, let them go. And like you were just pointing out, Kirk, sometimes you'll get more information that you wanted. And it's probably good to have that information on the front end rather than, you know, 3 months into training and now you're finding out maybe things that aren't ideal about that candidate.
Yeah, you're so true. This is really, really hard for a lot of people, myself included, is you're just waiting for the window to really galvanize them around why they should work here. And so resist the urge as much as possible. Get them talking as much as possible and ask them what clarifying questions do they have. And I usually find that's the best segue. One more thing I'll just add, and again, I don't do the hiring, but I'm waiting patiently for what kind of a question they may ask. Like, so the perfect segue between all of these things that Michelle has laid out is like, what questions can I clarify for you about this role? My hope is they'd come equipped with some really, you're like, wow, that's a really good question. If they go, no, I don't really have any questions. When do we get paid? Like if they go really quick to, when do we get paid? You know, and it's really those logistics. It's not entirely bad, but it's not a good sign. Like I'm looking for somebody that's thoughtful, like really through the, you can always tell the quality of you. Well, I should be careful about like the quality of the question tells me a lot. Wouldn't you agree? Like a really good, thoughtful question. And I also like, I like a little bit of hard to get. Do you know what I mean? Like, no, yeah. Like I'll add a couple things. Remember the perfect employee team member, they're not unemployed. They actually work somewhere else. There's not a bunch of people fall in love with this idea of like, well, there's amazing team members out there that are not employed. No, everybody you're looking for, they're employed somewhere else. They're just looking for the next opportunity. So you have to be very cognizant of that. And why this is so important is that when you get the right team members in place and you get a great hiring process, it doesn't affect your life. It changes everybody's life. Having the right team member and coupling them with a second right team member, it doesn't become 1 + 1 = 3. It's 1 + 1 = 11. Because those two people can do so many things together that you could never do. So finding the right person, having a process in there, not being quick, and giving them every opportunity to succeed is so important. So you're the star here, Michelle. I'm talking way too much. So what else would you say? Give us some final thoughts on this.
Kirk, let's be honest. Your radio voice is much better than my radio voice.
No, it's not.
So talk away.
Well.
So.
You go. I thought you were you go. I love Michelle because we're the same personality style. So we're just two people, like Alice Hale said, just two people that are party waiting for a place to happen, you know, just to hang out in a group of people. So you go, take us home on this one.
I love it. And you did touch on a good point, which is, this is a candidate who likely is gainfully employed somewhere. You do want to sell them on the position a little bit, but wait until you're sure that that's the person that you want. That's when you bring in the big guns of like, okay, let me give you the real deal about how amazing this place is. And that is probably my biggest tip. Know what you're looking for again, before you even get started. Don't go out there just casting a wide net, trying to find a body to just stick behind your front desk. There's more to it than that. Make sure you're finding the cultural fit, the core values fit. I love it when my clients use their core values in their hiring because that's who you are. And the right candidate is going to be really excited to know that you have core values and to know that you hire by them and you hold your team members accountable to them. So share that with them. I also want you to know, and this is something that we all learn when we are in either, like my background's in hygiene, and if you don't write it down, it didn't happen, right? So make sure your system is documented, have it on paper so that you know exactly what to do every single time, because hopefully you're going long periods of time in between needing to hire. So you're not going to remember what you did last time. Have it written down. Make sure that you have that system. And then again, the wrap up to that is, try not to hire out of desperation. I love your tip of having a bench. Always be accepting applications. Always be accepting people who might be a good fit for your practice. Network constantly, because you never know when you might have some sort of life circumstance that comes up where you need to find someone to fill in your team. So keep your eyes open and don't hire out of desperation.
Yeah.
Don't be desperate. I would, and be cognizant of being open with your team about, I know you guys are spread thin. I know that we're all picking up a little bit extra right now, but it's important to me that when I do get someone in here, that they are a help, not a hindrance.
Yeah.
And so we're going to wait until we get the right person, you know, bring your team into it, make sure that they're part of that process.
Yeah, absolutely. So well said, Michelle. And I'll just add one more piece of clarity. People always ask me, well, what does the bench mean? Are you hiring people? Like, no, you're always looking for talented people, and you're being super clear about them, with them, when this position might be open. Now, think about it. It slows the process down. We don't jump into this desperational position. And you'll show the candidates, look, we're a really great organization. And when the time comes, you might be a great fit, you know, type of a thing. We've even had people refer other people and not take the job, say, look, I'm going to go take another job, but I have a friend that would be a great fit here. And you can keep them in, you know, your system of people that you can reach out to. Because at the end of the day, like we said at the beginning, hiring is harder than ever. I see no day where it's going to get easier. And I don't mean to freak you out, but this is the stuff I hear. People can go to Indeed right now, copy your ad off of Indeed, put it into ChatGPT 4.5, and say, write me the perfect resume for this job. Oh, add a cover letter too. And you will get that, and you'll read it and go, this is amazing. Wow, this is like perfect. So I'm not going to say everybody's going to do that, but you do. You have to have a higher level of, you know, thought in this whole process, because finding the right people just isn't easy. So try to avoid these three mistakes at the end of the day. So Michelle, great job. I really appreciate you so much.
Yeah. And I just want to call out one of my favorite resources. Anytime you're hiring, Bent Erickson is a partner of ours, and they do a phenomenal job answering all of our questions as coaches for hiring so that we can help guide our teams and our clients in the right direction. So encourage you to reach out to them. We'll have an FAQ after the show so that you can check that out in the BPA. You can also contact Courtney to learn more about ACT at any point. We look forward to hearing from all of you.
Yeah, and you're free to get that resource. We actually created this resource for our clients. It's Bent Erickson's Hiring FAQs. I totally agree. They cover every scenario, things you would never think about, and they're the best, period. Bent Erickson, if you don't have them on your team, you're missing out. And they created a beautiful FAQ. If you want a copy of it, you can email Courtney@actdental.com, and she'll give you a copy of that. It's a great tool to have, and that's just a small element of some of the other tools that we have in the Best Practices Association. All this stuff, you're going to see, we're going to keep bringing it. We love this stuff in the podcast element. And all of the things we're talking about, we have tools for this back in the Best Practices Association. It's free. You can actually start your journey today. Go back on the Apple Store, and then I always get the Apple Store, Google Play Store, and you can search it for free. Search Best Practices Association. You can start the journey for free, and then you can upgrade to see the tools, see the conversations, be part of the community, and then eventually, if you want to come to the Top Study Club, you can. It's all there waiting for you. So thanks again, Michelle. I really appreciate you. As always, this is awesome. Love it, love it, love it.
So thanks.
Thank you.
I appreciate you having me on, Kirk. We had too much fun today.
Oh my gosh. You get for sure. And you're going to keep coming back again and again and again. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. If you enjoyed today, do us a favor, hit the share button. I don't know how this is growing. I don't care. I don't even know. We just love this stuff, and we're going to keep bringing it. We have like over 800 and some episodes. We've got 8,000 more because we could talk about this stuff all day. So you keep showing up. We're going to keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor?
could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.